The young people come and join me.
I got it. Thank you.
It is so good to see everybody today. Today is a very special Sunday. Today is a very special Sunday, not because a bunch of our old friends have come back, although that makes it very special. But today is up. Here comes Molly Grace. There she is. Okay. Today is a special Sunday because it's All Saints Sunday. You know, one time I asked a little guy what the saints were. Where are you headed, big guy? Sitting next to Zach. I asked a little guy what the saints were, and you know what they said? You know what he said? He said a dead Christian. Everybody laughed only more than that when he said that. Yep, that's what he said. And I guess that's kind of true. It's true. But in the Bible it says that a saint is a person who loves Jesus. So now let me see a show of hands. How many of you love Jesus? You can raise your hand. How many of you? Oh, that's right. Well, then you know what? The Bible says, then what does the Bible say? Who are the saints? Then who are the saints? Go ahead, Kenny. That's right. That's right. The lovers of Jesus are the saints. The lovers of Jesus. And so let's pray that as those who love Jesus, that we would always reflect him in everything we do. Okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we know that the saints are the ones who love Jesus. And we pray that we would have such love for Jesus in our hearts that everybody would be able to tell and that we would draw others to you. Amen. Okay, now there's goodies in that basket right there. And who has junior church today? Oh, okay. Mark has junior church today. So grab a goodie and off we go. You know, when you live in the Midwest and you come back to the East Coast, you notice something other than culture shock. Things are just older here. I'm not talking about people, you understand. Things are just older here than they are in the Midwest. You know, the fact that Schuylkillhaven celebrated its bicentennial a few years before the country celebrated its bicentennial was always something that struck my family in the Midwest. You know, as just being something really different. There's just nothing that old in the Midwest, you know? And things that were old kind of got burnt during the Civil War, but that's another story. When Greg and Amanda moved down to Virginia, the same thing struck me. We went down there to visit them, and things down there are much older than they are here. There's a lot of very old things down there. When Ian and John went on their mission trip to Russia, they visited Estonia. And which was kind of a joke because after they got home, Ian went to give blood and she said, you know, you can't give blood if you've ever been to Estonia. Like, who's ever been to Estonia? John, Ian couldn't give blood for a year after that. But anyway, foot and mouth, something like that. Anyway, we have a picture of Ian standing in the doorway of a building that apparently was supposed to be from like the 1400s. We don't have anything that old in this country. I mean, it was pretty significant. It's a very short doorway. You had to duck. I don't know if they were shorter or they just made doorways little. You know, in the world, though, Americans are accused of not appreciating history. And I guess the accusation is accurate because we really don't have anything in our country that's as old as Europe has. And if we look at our own knowledge of even American history, I guess we really just don't know much about that either. I mean, I guess I don't have a mouse in my pocket. I should say that I don't know much about American history like I should. We are a people really that are not rooted in history. Even most American Christians, you know, we live in the present and we are looking forward to the future. You know, we don't really look to the past much. We don't pay a lot of attention. So we're really fortunate to have this All Saints Sunday in the church liturgical year because it gives us kind of like this historical perspective about the church. And it gives us this opportunity to remember faithful people who have gone before us and who still influence our lives today with our memories of them. Our Old Testament passage today, now if you have been attending Alan's Bible study, you would know a whole lot more about this passage than what I'm going to talk about this morning, because that's not what I'm going to talk about this morning, is all the kingdoms. So Alan's just breathed a sigh of relief because he's been eating and breathing this stuff for a long time. That's not what I'm going to talk about, Alan. Okay. Susan, no, not today. It centers, though, on a dream that Daniel had during the reign of Belshazzar, which was the king of Babylon. And in this night vision, Daniel sees four beasts coming out of the sea, and they were very terrifying beasts, and he prays for interpretation. He's told that the four beasts symbolize four oppressive kingdoms who are going to threaten the faithful. But Daniel is not to fear. And the reason Daniel is not to fear is told in verse 18, because the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. And that's the good news. The saints, or the faithful followers of God, are given the promise that eventually we will overcome. At any given moment, it may not look like it. And if you are aware at all, most times it seems like evil is so powerful in the world in which we live that it is never going to be defeated. I get that. But you see, we see only small chapters of what is a much larger story. And it's the larger story that God points us to, and that is that the saint kingdom, our kingdom, isn't temporary. It's eternal. And those of us who are blood-bought believers, those of us who are totally sold out to God, will ultimately overcome. So historically, what does Scripture tell us that the saints of yesterday have to do with us today in our own faith journey? Well, for one, the saints give us examples. You know, Helen made this memory board back in the choir room, and I really hope you get an opportunity to look at it. We have had some faithful saints here at Christ that have gone before. And I remember, was it Tuesday or something? We were in there, we were looking at the memory board, and there was someone there that you had remembered as being such a godly person. And I had the opportunity, I was like, well, you know, tell me a little bit about him, Kirsten. And she remembered from when she was a kid, and who was it? Yeah.
That was
Arlen Kimmel. Okay, Arlen Kimmel. Okay. But there are others in there. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. Yeah. Well, I was talking to somebody. I thought Kirsten mentioned that when she was a little bit. What do I? I'm clueless. But anyway, they're just faithful people we have had. And it's good to talk about those people. And when you see those pictures in the choir room, you're reminded of some of the wonderful things that they did in the body. And they are examples. Now, I have been told, I really did embarrass Regina and Kirsten, I didn't mean to do that, but I have been told by a lot of us here and some people at Zion that a man by the name of Daniel Wiley was a particularly godly man. And I've been told that he was like one of the godliest men there ever was at Zion. I was told, you know, I've heard things. You know, I haven't heard so much about these. I'm hoping to now that we have the memory board, but you know, I was told he was like a gentle man, you know, he was a team player, he was an elder in the church, and he was a Gideon, but far more important than those things, he lived what he believed. What he walked his talk. You know, we can all talk a big game, but they say that Daniel walked his talk. and that he treated women and men with respect. And I am told that he really, that he just wanted God's will, that he was willing to lay his own will down for the sake of the kingdom. And he made a friend wherever he went. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting him when we get into the kingdom. Now, if you knew Daniel, which I didn't, you remember him as an example, and you will think of the things, the good things that he did in life. And when you think of his life, you can refer to that life as kind of a check and balance in the way you are living your own life. You know, I absolutely have to tell you that I cannot stand that saying, what would Jesus do? That just makes me crazy, because who knows what Jesus would do, but you know what? You know what Daniel would do. You know, you know what Daniel would do. And you can use that as a check and balance in your own life. Now you all know I love Dancing with the Stars. It's no secret, okay? Now, Kurt Warner, the famous retired football... I heard you laughing over here. Who's laughing at me? It's Connie. Such abuse. Good thing I know who I am in Jesus. Anyway, Kurt Warner, the famous retired football quarterback, you're going to have to just suffer through this. He is one of the stars this season, and he was struggling at the beginning of the season with how he was supposed to dance with this scantily clad Russian teacher that he had. If you watch the show, you will know that. And at one point, the camera shows him saying to her, I am a Christian man, and I am not used to touching any woman like that except my wife. I was like, awesome, you know? They brought his wife in to the rehearsal studio so that she could give him permission to act this part to be a good dancer. But he didn't do that until he got her permission, and I thought that was a good thing. Last week, before they went on, the camera briefly, ever so briefly, caught sight of Kurt Warner and this Russian woman, scantily clad woman, way back in the dark behind the stage. And at first, I didn't even know who they were. And then I saw it was him, and I couldn't really tell what they were doing. And then I heard the words, and it occurred to me they were praying on national television. And you wonder why I love this show. They were praying. And they let you, on national television, hear the words. And he was praying, as we have prepared, Lord, give us the ability to use these gifts that you have given us to do well and for your glory. I was moved. And I was moved on a whole lot of levels. I was moved because it was touching to see this retired football player as a devout Christian man. You know, that was moving. But what was moving was that God had put him in that situation, and he was witnessing to the country. They let it on TV. This is good stuff. What a witness to a godless world. And the Hebrews of 12:1-2 came to my mind. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Am I the only one that needs to hear this? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is good stuff. Just like the prophet Daniel, who reminded the suffering and persecuted believers of the faithful lives of the saints. He was reminding them of that. The writer of Hebrews is reminding the exiled, persecuted believers of the great cloud of witnesses so that they will be encouraged to persevere. He encouraged them to run their own race, but strengthened by their connection with the faithful, godly people who have gone before. You know, the saints are examples of what God's grace was and able and is able to do through people who have had the same human weaknesses as all of us have had. Now, the second thing that the saints give us for our present day walk is encouragement. And that's the encouragement that we need at a time like this. You know, sometimes on All Saints Day, we talk about the lives of faithful people and the ones who have gone before, and the stories have accounts of them overcoming trials and overcoming troubles, terrible things that have gone on in their lives. And the stories that we remember are the ones that they had these awful things going on in their lives, but they made it anyway. And because they were overcomers, we can be overcomers too. Because they made it, we are going to make it too. You know, for some reason, over the years, I have gotten a lot of calls from various pastors who are at wit's end. You know, they're broken for a lot of reasons. Now, it has not happened to me recently, just so you know, but there was a time when it happened a lot. I would get calls from pastors all the time, and they would recount some terrible trial they were going on in the ministry or in their lives, in the church. Sometimes as shepherds, they would tell me about their rebellious sheep, you know, the sheep of their flock, you know, that were causing them to lose faith and to make them consider leaving the ministry. And at the end of these conversations, because I'm an old dog trainer, the Lord uses everything about our lives, there is something that through Christ I would always say to them, and I'd say, God has thrown you a bone. Where's the bone? God has thrown you a bone. Where's the bone? Now what that means, and if you know me really well, you will know I say this actually, what that means, if you know me really well, is that no matter what you are going through, no matter how difficult, God will always throw you a bone to keep you going. You know, and I found it to be true in my own life. And believe it or not, every pastor that I ever would talk to, they could always point to the bone. I'd say, where's the bone that God has thrown you so that you can persevere? And they'd say, well, there was this one lady that walked out of church on Sunday and she said that I had changed her life. Or, you know, I mean, there was always the bone that they could point to that would help them to keep going. Now, if you look, you can find one too. The thing that the Lord has given you or thrown into your path to give you strength to keep on going. You have to look sometimes, but there is one there. Now, it might be something that happens to you that blesses you. It might be something that you see. It might be something that you hear. A lot of times, the encouragement that God gives you so that you can keep going is found in a person that God has given you as a friend. So who is the person who has come at just the right time in your life to give you new direction? Maybe it was, you know, your parent that suddenly had a moment of lucidity, or a teacher, a pastor, a coach, author of a book, a stranger, a friend, sometimes even an enemy. Who was that person for you? Well, when you return home today after worship, I want you to spend some quiet time thinking about your own history. Think about the people who have helped you along your spiritual journey, people who have helped you to this day, people who helped you to persevere and to keep going, and thank the Lord for each one of them. And if possible, here's your homework. If possible, if they are still on earth, speak to them, write to them, tell them what they mean to you. Because these are the saints of the Most High that God has given you in your life. You know, we all need a sense of being rooted in history if we're to be God's faithful people. We all need a sense of that because that's the way God created us to be. And because of the examples of the saints, we're encouraged to be good witnesses ourselves, knowing that, you know, when we make ourselves available, when we get out of God's way, God's grace will move in and through our lives too. So together, let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, we thank you that on this All Saints Sunday, we can take the time to remember the faithful witnesses who have pointed us towards you. And we thank you that we can be encouraged to persevere in our faith through remembering their lives of love and service. We especially thank you for those you have called home and who wait for us on the other side. But as we remember those who have entered the church triumphant, Lord, we pray that when we too see you face to face, that we will leave behind a world that is a better place because we live. And we pray that on some future All Saints Sunday, when our names are read, that we will be remembered as godly men and women who brought honor to you with the living of our earthly days. On this All Saints Sunday, Father God, we remember Randy Arndt, Dorothy Bacher, Esther Bensinger, Helen Bensinger, Anna Borman, Hat Bolton, William Bradley, Pastor Shirley Reiner, Anthony Dottie, Linda Dottie, Ruth Dunkel, Edith Evans, Betty Fluke, Margaret Freed, Anna Goba, Larry Greensway, Jane Heisler, Pastor Rose Hoffman, Joe Hosella, Alice Ketledge, Conrad Mattis, Gladys McLaughlin, Bill Mim, Teresa Moramarco, Ida Rubright, Madge Richardson, Betty Jane Schnell, Marion Teeter, Anna Trump, Irene Walter, Harold Wildermuth, Carl Krause, Florence Kissler. Amen.
Lose heart. Amen.